What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
All right, so I initially had the Tesla situation, but you know what? I'm not even going to talk about it. So if you guys are a national park person or someone who likes to be outdoors, I know, Sedano, you like to hike. Cap, we're working on you. You can visit any national park for free this Saturday. It's in celebration of National Park Week. If you do want to camp overnight, there's still going to be fees for that. But usually, you know, you have to pay to go into national parks. And if you guys want to enjoy an outing with your family, it's free on Saturday.
Oh, that's nice.
I think the weather's been nice, too. So I feel like
the weather was beautiful today.
Oh, my God. It's still beautiful out. My goodness. What
a day. I mean, it was super windy yesterday. That was crazy.
Oh, it's terrible.
Is it the Santa Ana winds at this time of year? I'd always
Santa
forget.
Santa Ana? So. Yes.
Sí, Santa Ana. Sí. Yes. Entonces, it always gives me the, my allergies go nuts during the winds.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm a big outdoorsy person when I can. So, like, being able to do that with your fam and it being free, especially because, you know, gas prices are high right now. You can save money on that.
Hey, what's the deal? I thought the governor was supposed to send us $400 for every car we have registered because gas prices are so high. What happened with that?
Why are you asking us? Isn't he your boy?
Right, you should
text
him.
I should text him.
Yeah, you guys FaceTime all the time,
I should text him. I should ask him. Yo,
see,
Gav.
We catch him in lies.
yo, Gav, what up? Where's my money?
Okay, that's going to go well with him.
All right, national parks.
Hi, Capellini. We should call you that, Capellini.
Is that a thick-sounding pasta? Because when Mason called me spaghetti arms, it's just still not sitting well with me at all.
It's not a thick.
Also, in regards to that, look at the picture that Sedano tweeted out in response to Mason's comment. Because
did you see that?
I don't know if he's in any place to be calling anyone spaghetti arms.
Right. Well, that's what's so utterly insulting about the whole thing. I mean, for Steve Mason to call me spaghetti arms, I mean, that's... I mean, if he were like had Arnold Schwarzenegger arms, I would get it.
Right.
You know?
Right, like if Keyshawn called you,
makes sense.
You know, spaghetti arms.
No. I wouldn't like it if Keyshawn called me spaghetti arms either.
Whoa. Oh, really?
Why?
Well, Key was talking about it yesterday. How he's not really into working out right now, and he needs to get himself back into working out.
Yeah.
But Key, I feel like.
But he's still bigger than you.
A lot bigger. Yeah.
What about if, like, DeMarco did that?
Yeah, if DeMarco called me spaghetti arms, I'd get it.
Yeah.
You know? But Mason.
He's got rigatoni arms.
Yeah, Mason calling me spaghetti arms. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Can we address what Beto tweeted at us?
Oh, wait. Well, so Beto said this in a text. I don't know what he tweeted yet.
Oh, okay.
But he wrote, my son Mateo asked, what's OGFR? He's 17. So what the heck is Cap talking about?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Beto is, he's kind of like the language police out there.
Yeah.
You know, he does that. Like, I'm trying to remember what it was.
On God for Real?
On God for Real. By the way, people are tweeting at us, and they're saying On God for Real is a real thing.
One person tweeted.
Millions. Millions of people, Lindsay Baseball, millions.
One person.
Lindsay, millions.
Yeah,
one person on Twitter represents millions.
It's literally the only Sanch is the only person saying.
So Beto tweeted, so somebody, you know, because he said, what the F is OGFR, Kaplan loses me. Somebody tweeted back, and then he responded to that person, to Carlos Sanchez on Twitter, and said, Kaplan jalas.
Kaplan what?
I know what that means. That's supposed to be a playoff of some other word that we can't say because Laura's going to dump it.
Yes. Kaplan hadas.
It's just a Spanish word for something else. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're like, he's calling you a wussy.
He is?
Yeah.
What's he calling me a wussy for?
Yeah.
I liked it. I was like, Kaplan hadas? I liked
it. It's actually kind of funny if you knew the Spanish word. It's a great play on words. Kaplan
Hadas.
But we can say Kaplan Hadas, and all the people that know Spanish will know what the hell we're talking about.
Like, you know how I don't need to dump Kaplan Hadas. So if you say Kaplan Hadas, then we know.
So we could call them Kaplan Hadas.
Are you guys saying Kaplan Hadas like holla?
No, not
no.
Kaplan Hadas with a D.
Oh, Kaplan Hada.
What about Cappy? Can you do Cappy Hadas?
No.
Can't do that?
No.
Can't do that. All right.
No. Laura, by the way, I've seen the commercial again for Pollo Loco and their birria tacos with their consomme.
No.
And people have tweeted me after we talked about it the last time and said they were good.
Oh, no, there's one guy that's always tweeting us about food. Always.
Yeah. And said they were pretty good.
No, he said they sucked.
No, there was another guy. No, there's a different guy. It's not Garrett Nakagawa who always tweets us about food. This is another guy who said that he's had them and they're good.
I don't know. I went to the doctor and my nurse, the girl that drew my blood, she was like, oh, my God, I wanted to go try the. And I was like, girl, why? She's like, because it was just there. It's right next door to them. And
right,
she got the bubble guts.
Let me tell you something. El Pollo Loco.
I do love El Pollo Loco, though, but no.
El Pollo Loco for, like, what it is, like fast food, basically.
I like the chicken there.
It's pretty good.
I like the chicken there.
Dude, it's good. Seriously. My mom is a huge Pollo Loco. We are huge Pollo Loco fans in the house. Like, I genuinely like the taste of their chicken. Yeah. Pero, you know, you got to draw the line. You got to draw the line somewhere.
What does Pero have to do with this?
No, pero, but.
But.
Oh.
Pero. Like, for me, like, oh, my God, I can't. Caplanadas. I'm just going to.
Yes, more caplanadas. Yeah. Yes. That's, we could teach Lindsay that. Caplanadas. She can just use that. Mm-hmm. She can be a fellow.
OGFR.
Damn right.
Yes, thank you, Lindsay. Yes.
Damn right. It's going to catch on if it hasn't already.
All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. I'm guessing that's not going to catch on.
I'm telling you right now that it's already a thing.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you something. Let me just tell you one thing right now. We were talking about Clayton Kershaw earlier, George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had Reggie Jackson's reaction where he's like, are you people for real? This is baseball. Get out of the way, non-baseball people like you, Dave Roberts.
Move.
Get out of the way.
Get out the way. Get out the way.
You mentioned Fergie Jenkins.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Laura, you know who Fergie Jenkins is? I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm hoping you say no.
Sorry, I did not know my mic.
I mean,
he's an old-timer who played for the
Cubs. I know who Fergie Jenkins is.
No, I've heard the name, but I don't know, like, of him.
Okay. No, but he is not the lead singer of the Black Eyed Peas, okay? It's a different Fergie, all right?
You just were waiting to tell that joke.
No, I actually just did that.
That is a dad joke if I've ever heard it.
But I was happy I was able to get Black Eyed Peas out of my mouth because I was like, oh, my God, I just said Fergie's not the Fergie. What's the name of that? And I got it. I'm actually happy I got it. But here's the thing. As much as, like, old-time baseball guys are ripping the Dodgers for not giving Clayton Kershaw the chance, listen to this tweet from Jeff Passan, who I think is, you know, really probably the best baseball reporter out there. Mm-hmm. Jeff Passan says this: if it's a no-hitter, whatever, yank him. Clayton Kershaw has thrown one. But there have been more than 22,000 games in Major League Baseball history. There have been 23 perfect games. Then he goes on to say, everything, especially a pitch count of 80, is lining up to at least let Kershaw try. You cannot pull him. So that's from Jeff Passan.
Okay, great. But Jeff Passan can have his opinion and we can disagree with it.
Totally right on. Totally right. Yeah. I just feel like we might be, and I'm surprised by this, we might be in the minority because we're thinking rationally, which is also unusual. I usually think emotionally.
Yes.
So my initial reaction is, Dave, what are you doing? You don't pull a guy out when he's only got 80 pitches and he's pitched a perfect game through 7 innings. That is my initial reaction. Mm-hmm. But then I think about it for a second. Who are we talking about here? What time during the season are we talking about? And what's more important, his long-term health or getting a perfect game on his record? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you guys, I feel like I'm in the minority here. But I feel like I'm on the right side of this one.
Okay. I agree. That. I feel like I'm on the right side of this, too.
I feel like I'm on the right side, so there you go.
There you go. Everyone feels like you're on the right side. Yeah.
OGFR is right.
OGFR.
You're in the middle, huh? You're right in the middle.
I'm Switzerland.
What is baseball and being a fan for if you're not an irrational fanatic, right?
That's any sport.
Yeah, it works. It works really well if you have a completely normal spring and you got a guy who doesn't have a history of injuries. But when you have what we have here today, the smart play for his long-term health and for the team's success was to yank him. But the emotional side of, what are you doing? It's a perfect game. You never see this. It's Clayton Kershaw. Love to have a shot.
But again, like I said to Greg Bergman, who is like extreme Dodger fan, I said, Is it just me or, like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think people are expecting a whole lot of Kershaw this season anyway. Like, people were just kind of wrote him off as like, oh, he's going to go somewhere else. The Dodgers aren't going to sign him. And then when they did, it was like, oh, good, Clayton Kershaw's back. But I don't feel like people are expecting him to be, like, top of the rotation guy at all.
No, they're expecting him to be the number three starter. Mm. No?
I feel like even that's generous.
Well, listen, we sit here all day long and have this argument, but, I mean, really, you have Buehler, Urias, and Kershaw, and after that, you got question mark, and question mark, and more question marks.
Well, I'm just saying I kind of thought of Clayton Kershaw as a bit of a question mark himself coming into the season based on his availability, you know, last year and even the year before.
Look, I am with everybody here. I totally get it. You're being selfish about it, and I don't blame you for that because how often do we get a chance to see a perfect game through seven innings? Pretty rarely. By the way, this could have also been, you talk about a great comeback story. We all were talking about Tiger Woods last weekend. This could have been the most amazing thing. Clayton Kershaw, in his first start of the season, who's only pitched 75 pitches in a simulated game, who's been hurt for the last X number of months, he's working his way back to health. In his first start of the season, Kershaw pitches a perfect game. That would have been an incredible story. It really would have. But it didn't happen.
But it's not to me, that's not the goal of this team right now. Like, the goal for Clayton Kershaw and this team is to win a championship. So, great. I mean, it would have been cool, but it's not really, like, a big deal. The more important thing, the priority should be winning a championship and make sure Clayton Kershaw is healthy in October.
I felt like if Clayton Kershaw would have said, this sucks, I was seven innings in, I was only 80 pitches in, and frankly, given my history, I think I deserve the opportunity, and I'm pissed. If he says that, I'm kind of on his side.
But he's never going to say that because he's Clayton Kershaw. Like, has he ever said anything remotely along those lines where he's, like, disagreeing with anybody? I feel like he's pretty vanilla.
He is very vanilla.
I feel like we would have been able to tell from his tone if he was unhappy about it.
I don't know. See, to me, you guys said, like, he didn't sound bent out of shape about it. To me, I feel like he kind of sounded like he was a little bit disappointed.
He wasn't angry. He was disappointed.
Okay, Dad.
Listen, exactly. I'll tell you this right now. has he, from a career standpoint and who he is and his stature in the game, does he deserve the opportunity to go back out there? I think he does. But where we are in the season and the injury history, it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. It's one of 162. If you're halfway into the season and his arm is built up and his conditioning is right on and he's feeling good, go for it. But at this time of the year, I don't know, maybe I'm looking at it all wrong. Maybe I should be looking at it the other way. This is the time of the year to let him go for it, because if he does have soreness, if he does get hurt, he got the whole season. You have plenty of time till we get to September. Maybe I'm looking at it all wrong. Am I, George?
No, I don't think you are. For once, I don't think you are.
Wow. Wow. Well,
You don't win the season in April, in May. That's
what we're saying.
I get you, Lindsay. I get you.
That is what I'm saying. All right. Coming up next, let's get into there's apparently some stuff around the Lakers coaching job. There's some perhaps new updates, let's just call them, on the potential candidates. We'll do that coming up in 4 minutes. And then after that, by the way, we're going to come back for the rest of the show, basically. We're going to go right till 55 past the hour. So we're going to do probably like 35 straight minutes. So stick around for that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You sound like you're trying to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he's not constipated.
Excuse me. Oh, I was choking there for a second.
Sound like me. Trying to sleep.
Dude, yeah, you sounded like you needed to go, like you were constipated there.
Really? I thought I sounded like a hype man. Like, Yeah.
Hell
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No?
No.
I guess I was going in another one.
That's what I should have played.
Does Alex Toussaint do that during Club Bangers?
Hell to the yeah, he does.
Does he really? Does he sit there and make those like grunts and stuff?
He's like, yo, do you be free? Have fun.
Do you be free?
Right. Have fun. Right.
I like that. I like that. Good.
I shouldn't be mad at that.
You can't be mad at that, George. It's Alex Toussaint right there.
Be free.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I mean, I'm going to get you guys one day on a Peloton to take an Alex Toussaint Club Bangers ride.
I would love a Peloton. I would do anything for a Peloton. Not anything, but I would do. I want a Peloton. They're just expensive.
They're amazing deals right now. I mean, I'm not really speaking on their behalf, but I'm telling you right now, the deals that they make on these things, you can get them, Linz. I think I pay $60 a month for my Peloton.
I saw a lady post a video on TikTok yesterday that was like, calling all divorced men or about to be divorced men whose wives cheated on them. I'm trying to buy a Peloton for cheap. I was like, yep. I need to do that.
Yep. You buy them used. It's even better. It's right. That's right. Alex Toussaint. I'm trying to remember how there's four things.
Why don't
that,
you just
do
get
you...
Greg's? He doesn't use it.
Yeah, that's
oh,
a good
that's
idea.
True. You should just get Greg's.
Yeah.
I feel like he's having a hard time letting go of it and the notion that like he wants to use it.
Right.
But he don't. Right. Sorry, boss.
I mean, you buy him out of this thing. Take him out of his misery.
Poor Greg.
I know. Well, he's probably upset that he doesn't ever use it, you know?
Why isn't Mason calling him Noodle Arms?
Good question. Good question. Very good question, as a matter of fact. George, where were we? Help me out here. Where were we?
We were going to talk about the Lakers situation. So, Linz, what's the story on Jason Kidd that popped up?
Oh, I just saw, well, that the headline is just, can the Lakers sway Jason Kidd away from the Mavs? Could they steal him away? And it was just kind of like a hypothetical about whether or not he'd ever go there. I don't think he would.
Jason Kidd?
Leaving the Mavericks to come coach the Lakers. Now, let me tell you my first inclination. Absolutely not. Why would you leave Luka Doncic, who is going to be a top five MVP candidate this year, who is 22 years old, to coach the Lakers?
Plus, he's got a great owner. He seems like he's happy, like helping, you know, build, hoping
he,
build
he,
a team.
He won a championship there.
Right.
So, I don't know if I buy that. Like, what? Like, yeah, I don't buy that for a second.
I think there was something else in that article, though, about how, you know, could the Lakers possibly get Jason Kidd to come back? Which, just by the way, I want to say something right now. You bring Jason Kidd in here or Mark Jackson, it doesn't really matter. The roster has to be fixed. The coach might help some things. You know, might help clean up the cultural issues. When I say that, what I mean is, you know, the locker room, the chemistry, the whole deal. But seriously, like, just thinking that they're going to bring in a coach and snap their fingers and all of a sudden they're back to championship contender, forget about it. It's not happening like that. And the other part of that article, though, George, was this. Well, you know, LeBron really has an affection for Luka. So
right.
Mm-hmm. maybe LeBron will find himself eventually playing with Luka and playing for Jason Kidd, but in Dallas.
No, that's not happening.
Okay, well, that was just intimated.
It was Windhorse that, like, implied that in a way.
Yeah, LeBron's not leaving LA, man.
I agree with that. I don't think LeBron's leaving. I think LeBron will absolutely finish his career as a Laker. I think LeBron may not sign an extension and may just play this year out and then just kind of go year by year. But I just think his business, the business of LeBron, is wrapped up now in the entertainment industry in L.A., and he likes living here, and his family seems to like living here. I don't think LeBron's going anywhere.
Oh, I disagree. I think he's leaving after he plays this last year out.
Really?
Yep.
George, any morsels you'd like to drop on us about that?
I don't have any morsels on that.
Okay, well, that's unfortunate.
I would tell you.
I know you would.
Sorry.
I know you would. Yeah. It's unfortunate. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, Windhorse said, don't ever judge LeBron 100% on his words. Judge him on his actions.
Oh, no, that's 100% true. Yeah, that's 100% true. For sure. Right. Definitely judge him on his actions.
Listen, I don't think Jason Kidd's going to be the coach of the Lakers. What the Lakers probably should have done last year is they probably should have thought to themselves a little bit more about Jason Kidd, what they thought he could eventually mean to their franchise, and they probably should have tried to have figured out a way to have kept him a year ago. And even if that would have meant a year ago saying, hey, Frank, I know you won a championship a year ago, and we didn't win a championship this year, and there were a lot of injuries, and this is all pre-Russ, by the way. But you know what? Just we kind of feel like we'd rather go in the Jason Kidd direction than the Frank Vogel direction. They could have done that. Or they could have said to Jason Kidd, hey, look, don't go anywhere. We'll pay you more. You're the next guy. If things don't work out with Frank, you're the next guy. Now, by the way, that could have created even more chemistry problems for the franchise. But if you really love Jason Kidd, maybe you should have found a way to keep him around or give him the head coaching job a year earlier. He ain't coming here. Not now.
Right. Yeah. No, you had to make that move last year. So it's not how I why would you leave Luka Doncic? And you know, Cuban, to Lindsay's point, is a great owner.
A place where you played as a player.
Right.
And won a championship. That's what players do. They play.
They do play. Yeah, that's an excellent point by you. And then there's what's the thing on Doc Rivers, Linz?
Well, Doc Rivers kind of cleared the air, and he said that him being mentioned for other coaching jobs, he said it's disrespectful. He doesn't think it's fair. He mentioned how he thought the Frank Vogel thing was really unfair. And I mean, he basically just like poo-pooed the whole idea of him possibly going to the Lakers, and the fact that people are talking about it, he's not okay with that.
Oh, well, I also think that Laker fans probably wouldn't want Doc. Like, it just seems fairly obvious. Yeah,
but why are people talking about it like it's such a thing? Like, Doc Rivers is, I don't think he's really that good of a coach. Like, I don't see why people are talking about it like it's so, it's like a thing. Like, it's even logical.
Well, I think some people just think he'd love to be back in LA, right? So I think that's part of it. But I think that he was voted one of the 15 greatest coaches of all time. I would debate that, you know, maybe that was bestowed upon him in a way where I don't know. I was surprised, like, let's just say, when I saw his name on that list. But I do think that, look, I think Doc doesn't get enough credit. I'll do this. And Ramona could attest to this because she's doing this, you know, her story basically is going to be the thing on FX in a couple, you know, sooner rather than later, I guess. Doc doesn't get enough credit for stewarding the Clippers franchise through that disaster situation that was Donald Sterling. So I do think he deserves a lot of credit there. I do think, you know, getting to two finals, winning a championship with the Celtics, that team probably should have won more if I had to guess, and he probably would say the same thing. But he's been a great coach. I don't know if he's one of the greatest coaches of all time, but I think he's been a great coach.
I think, though, that the reason you hear his name mentioned with the Laker job is, one, what George said, which is maybe he would like to come back to living the lifestyle of Los Angeles rather than the lifestyle of Philadelphia or Boston, whatever. So more of that West Coast lifestyle. That's number one. Number two, there is an assumption that if the Philadelphia 76ers don't make it to, let's just say, the Eastern Conference Finals, that it's going to be a monster disappointment, and then maybe there would be a situation where Doc would get fired. So he might be available. But I think the third part, and probably the most important part of why people even mention Doc Rivers, is because, you know what? He's a grown-ass man, you know, right. And he's had some success, and he's got himself a ring, and he had a real playing career, and a guy like Doc Rivers has enough clout, not just as a coach, but it's a little deeper than that when it comes to Doc Rivers. Doc, like LeBron, especially during the pandemic and all the turmoil that was going on in America at the time, Doc was a very outspoken person about social justice issues. And so I think that there's a healthy respect that someone like LeBron would have or does have for a Doc Rivers, which would then allow Doc to actually coach the team. And so I think that there's a lot of reasons why people put his name out there, but yo, he's under contract, at least for now.
Yeah, that's not happening. I mean, I kind of dismissed that earlier. So look, I think if you're looking at the Lakers situation, it's not going to be Nick Nurse. It's not going to be Doc Rivers. It's not going to be Quinn Snyder. Like, it's not going to be Jason Kidd. Like, I think you need to kind of get your mind off of those guys. That's all I'm saying.
Don't disagree. Now we're looking for a name. Looking for something again.
I told you, Juwan Howard, man.
Which I liked. And listen, that's to me, it's
I'm telling you, he's going to be interviewed, if I had to guess. And again, that's not a report. That's me just recklessly speculating.
But being interviewed versus who is actually going to get the job, it may be Juwan Howard. But listen, here's one other thing, George. We assume that Juwan Howard wants the job. He may not. You know, he may like being at his alma mater at Michigan.
I mean, Mark Jackson is another option.
He's an option. But again, we talked about this yesterday. Mark Jackson is a guy who, in my opinion, I'm watching him on television right now. Mark Jackson is a guy to me that is the NBA's version of John Gruden in that he's become a very famous television personality. And every time there's a job that comes up, people remember his 3 years in Golden State, which weren't championship years.
No, I mean, those guys were young. Yeah.
I understand. I got it. But can I just remind everybody that Mark Jackson has not coached since, as you pointed out yesterday, George, I think it's 2014.
2014, yeah.
Right. So we're talking about 8 years that the guy hasn't been on the bench. Now, look, he's been at every arena. He's seen every player. He's done his own scouting. He's done his analysis for television. John Lynch did the same thing for Fox. He turned into a general manager with the San Francisco 49ers. And guys do it. But I don't think Mark Jackson is the answer to a championship.
I don't know, man. He got the Warriors to a 50-win team when they were, you know, a disaster, basically, prior to that.
I'm not saying he's not a good coach. He might be a really good coach. He might
but
be
I
a
just
championship
think right
coach.
Now, I think right now you want one of two things. You either are bringing in a coach like a Juwan Howard, who's still, in theory, young for a coach, right? We would agree with that?
Yeah, Juwan Howard's probably like 48, 49, 50, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right, in that range, right. And you know, he's young for a coach, and he's your guy that you can allow to steward you through the end of LeBron's career and then beyond, right?
Which is why he may not want the job.
Or you are hiring someone that will be here for at least, you know, approximately 3 years through the end of LeBron's career.
Well, again, if you're Juwan Howard, here's what you've got to decide. Do I like being at Michigan, where I'm, you know, people look up to me. They love me at Michigan. I'm part of the Fab Five. I'm part of the history of the basketball program. And I've done really good things with this program here in just the last couple of years. Do I want to leave my school to go to the Lakers, which has what we all perceive now to be a very dysfunctional front office? Did you read the report today, George, in The Athletic, Orem? Did you happen to read what he wrote
today?
No,
I didn't read it, but I saw you sent the thing. I didn't get
a
chance to read
it. Well, I'll tell you one thing that he said that I thought was really, really interesting.
Give me some highlights.
Here's the highlight for me. You ready? Listen to this paragraph. In the last five seasons, the Lakers have cycled through three head athletic trainers, three head strength coaches, and a couple of dozen supporting staffers, to say nothing of the roster that's been overhauled annually. I will tell you right now, I did not know that. I didn't know that the Lakers had changed their athletic trainer three times in the last five seasons. I didn't know that they had fired and rehired different strength coaches. When you have strength coaches and trainers coming in and out, that is really bad. And you know where that can manifest itself? On the floor. Mm-hmm. You talk about dysfunction, these sorts of little nuggets that we hear about. Again, did you know this, George? Because I didn't know this.
I knew they had cycled through a lot of different groups. Yes. Okay. I didn't know the exact number. No.
Okay, so that's bad. Really bad. Three different head trainers and three different head strength coaches in the last 5 years. That's bad. And so it's hard to build consistency on the floor when there's so much inconsistency and dysfunction behind the scenes. So if I'm Juwan Howard, am I like jumping at the opportunity? Ooh, the Lakers. Oh, I want to be the coach of the Lakers. I want to coach LeBron. If you're Juwan Howard, are you jumping at that?
Maybe. I mean, I have a relationship with the guy, so maybe.
Meaning Juwan Howard has a relationship with LeBron James.
Correct.
Well, and the way you said it, I thought maybe, you know, you were talking about your relationship with Juwan Howard.
No, no, not mine.
I mean, you said I got a relationship with the guy.
No, I'm saying if I'm him, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you were in character at that moment.
Correct. I'm Juwan.
Got it. I didn't get that. But I got it now.
Clearly.
I think he's a very boomer bust hire, right? Fair to say.
All right. Well, listen, I just didn't know that. Again, I had no idea that there was this much behind the scenes. Again, the word is dysfunction that I'm using. And I'm just surprised to hear it. Three head trainers. And by the way, you wonder why guys can't stay healthy. There's another thing. Every year we're changing out trainers. Go hire the best guy, girl, whoever.
Go hire Alex Toussaint.
Hey, 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 that's a good idea because Alex Toussaint could also motivate the Lakers. Hey, LeBron, do you be free, let go, have fun, spread love. I mean, all the things that Alex Toussaint says to me when I'm taking a Peloton club bangers ride, those are the things that Alex Toussaint may say to the Lakers. Motivational coach is what he
Russell Westbrook would love that if someone told him to do you.
And be free?
Yeah.
And have fun that. And spread
still
love?
Wouldn't do anything.
You don't think, huh?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Beautiful. Are we playing Big Deal or No Deal?
Let's do it. Let's go. Thank you, Christopher. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys. So a month after the launch of the Saudi Arabia-backed Golf League, attempting to woo some of golf's biggest names from the PGA Tour, now its CEO and Commissioner Greg Norman is apparently getting ready to announce a handful of names committed to the controversial league. Two-time Masters champ Bubba Watson, along with Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter, as well as five-time Tour winner Kevin Na, are among those expected to join the $225 million rival. The final details are still being confirmed, but the plan is to announce some of the players who are planning to join in the coming weeks. Is this a big deal or no deal, Cap?
I'm going to say it's a big deal. I actually really love this story. George, have you followed this at all?
No, I'm not familiar with it. I'm hearing it for the first time.
I love this story because this is what Phil Mickelson was talking about when Phil Mickelson opened his mouth and people were so offended that Mickelson isn't playing on the PGA Tour. He didn't play in the Masters this past weekend. And Phil Mickelson has really been, I want to say, excommunicated from the PGA Tour. I'm not saying he won't come back. I'm just saying he is persona non grata right now. All because of what he said about the Saudi Arabian League. I'm surprised to hear that a guy like Bubba Watson in the prime of his career would want to leave. But there's so much money being thrown at these guys. So, yeah, I actually think whatever happens ultimately, whether it goes or it fails or they don't sign guys or they do, I think this is a big deal.
I mean, I think it's a big deal, but I think to your point, it can kind of blow up in their face. Again, without a ton of information on it. I do think it's a big deal. I think it's a huge risk for him, though. I mean, it's going to line his pockets, but I just think the way he's being going to be viewed, I think, is a – I think we don't take – here's what I would say. I had a friend who once told me in this business, don't ever make a decision based solely on money. It can't be the only reason. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be other reasons behind it. And I feel like this is one of those situations where he made the decision solely based on money.
Yeah, but gosh, I would think Bubba Watson's made enough money by now. I mean, Greg Norman's always been known as kind of a wheeler dealer business guy and, you know, thinking money only, but I mean, it's been his reputation anyway. Mm-hmm. I think big deal.
I think Bubba Watson's like prime is, I don't know if he's in the prime of his career anymore. I think his prime was.
I think he's the prime is behind him, yes,
yeah,
for sure.
Well,
yeah.
How old do you guys think he is? I mean, I'm just thinking that he's probably in his mid 30s.
Sure, but look at Ricky Fowler. Like, he's younger, way younger than him. Like, he's in his early 30s, but you could say, like, his best years of golf as of right now are clearly behind him. He didn't even make the Masters. Like, he didn't qualify.
Maybe he was more hype than he was game. Maybe he was more about bright orange outfits than he was about really playing great golf.
He had some really,
once
really
you're in your 40s
years.
In competitive golf, like, that's like, not... That's not your prime anymore.
I would agree. But, you know, listen, Phil Mickelson won a major championship in his early 50s. It happens.
I mean, I get it, but it doesn't happen all that often, you know, is what I'm saying.
Still surprised. Bubba Watson. I just would think he's such a popular name on the PGA Tour to be going and being a part of all of this.
Did Phil Mickelson win in his 50s? Are you sure? He's
I think he was 50
like
years
50.
Old. I think he's 50 years old when he won. 50 or 51.
No, he's like 50 or 51 now.
Yeah, he's Phil's 51, 52 right there. But, yeah, he won a major championship at 50 years old.
Was it last year?
Somebody's going to have to do some research.
I think it was 2 years ago was the last time he won his first
Major. No, he had a major. He did win a major in the last couple years. I didn't know if it was last year.
The PGA
year,
Championship, yeah.
And then he
PGA
was 50, or, okay. 50 or 51
oh, then there you
years
go.
Old.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 50.
All right.
Okay. Next one. 50. So, speaking Tuesday on WLW Radio before his team's home opener in Cincinnati.
Oh,
the Reds
I've heard this
president,
story. Oh,
yes, this is a good one. The Reds president, Phil Castellini, was asked why fans should maintain trust in an organization that has finished above 500 and made the playoffs just three times in the last 10 seasons.
Oh, my God.
Castellini, of course, yes, he knocked it out of the park with his response. Here's what he said along with the question from the interviewer.
You have people who say, look, faith is earned, 15 years of ownership. They haven't won to the extent that we would like. And so you had my faith, but you've lost it. Why should that fan maintain trust in you?
Well, where are you going to go? Let's start there. I mean, sell the team to who? I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, you want to have this debate? You know, if you want to look at what would you do with this team to have it be more profitable, make more money, compete more in the current economic system that this game exists, mm-hmm. it would be to pick it up and move it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so be careful what you ask for.
Oh, boy.
So is what he said a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
I mean, big deal and really stupid. I mean, Jesus. Yeah, why don't you threaten your fan base that you're going to leave? I don't know, man. Like, he's since apologized, clearly, but it just was absurd to me. Just
where are you going to go? Well, if I'm a Reds fan, I'm going to go across the street and spend all my money on the Bengals.
So that's the owner of the Reds?
It's the owner's son, but he is the president of the team.
And he's right. telling a radio host...
So fans are mad at the Reds. They want, you know, similar to a lot of bad owners, they're like, they did nothing this offseason. Like, they're just wasting away some of these really good players like Joey Votto's, like Prime, whatever. They're not doing anything. They need to sell the team. And he's saying, well, sell to who? Like, the only way that would work is if we moved the team. So is that really what you want? Like, just being a complete jackass about it.
Yeah, I get it. Here's the thing about baseball. We were taught, and I would say in some ways brainwashed for many years, that small market teams like Cincinnati or Tampa or Oakland can't really keep up with the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Giants. And I never really understood it. But, you know, the explanation would always be, well, the television deal for the San Diego Padres is $250 million, and the television deal for the LA Dodgers is $100 million. And so the disparity between these two franchises and their television deals, that's why this franchise can only have a payroll of $50 million and this franchise can have a payroll of $250 million. And you know what? That's all a big lie. That is a lie. All these owners in baseball are billionaires. And if they wanted to pump money into the product on the field, they could. They don't want to. You know why? Because they're billionaires. And they know how to actually make money and what not to spend money on. And they're in the entertainment business, and the entertainment business is not the winning business. I could go on a rant forever.
No, two different things, because the billionaires didn't become billionaires by blowing money, you know, frugally, whatever the word is, fruitlessly, whatever, you know what I mean.
Here's what I'll add, though. There was a story that came out that they've made a lot of money revenue sharing and things of that nature. So it's just a terrible, terrible take because, again, people will find that stuff out, man. You can find that stuff pretty easily, you know? So
after the lockout, it's amazing to me how any MLB owner is going to claim poor.
Well, listen, any owner of any sports franchise who threatens its fan base that it would move, be prepared because that is when fan bases really get turned off. How dare you threaten me that you're going to move the team because our city's not good enough for you because you can't make enough money. I've seen this firsthand, and it doesn't go well for the owner.
I get it, Cap. That's why I boycotted the Indians / Guardians. I'm done. I'm not rooting for them or spending money on them. I want them to win, obviously, but I'm not spending any money on their merchandise or tickets until they sell the team because I've had it.
My friend is with you, Lindsay. He's from Akron. And he was so mad. He was like, he texts me. He's like, I'm boycotting, blah, 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 blah. I'm turning into a Dodger fan. I was like, are you really? He's like, no, but I'm not spending money on them. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, guess what? Opening day is in, 2 days in Cleveland, home opener. It's still not sold out. That has never happened before. And they only have, they barely even have 30,000 seats anymore. They have, 27,000 seats. And the home opener is not sold out. That's problematic. Anyway. Rant
all
over.
Right. All right. Bingo.
Last one. Oscar De La Hoya is a true believer in the boxing ability of social media star Jake Paul. So back in December, we all remember, Paul scored a brutal one-punch knockout in his rematch with former UFC champion Tyron Woodley. And then in talking to TMZ today, De La Hoya said, quote, "Let me tell you one thing about Jake Paul. He's the real deal. I'm going to tell you that. With only four or five fights and the way that he's taking it seriously, he's the real deal. I dare anyone who has boxing, who has MMA experience to call him out, because I can tell you one thing. This guy can beat a lot of good champions, even maybe great champions." Is what Oscar De La Hoya said about Jake Paul a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
I mean, it's a big deal because it's coming from Oscar De La Hoya, but I also think if I had to guess, and I, you know, I feel like this is a business decision is what I would call it.
I feel you. I understand what you're saying. Look, Oscar De La Hoya is in the promotion game. Yeah. Oscar De La Hoya is into putting on fights to make money. And he understands that Jake Paul, whether he's a good fighter or he's not a good fighter, he's a guy who can fill seats and can sell pay-per-views. I mean, this guy, Jake Paul, the amount of followers and subscribers he's got on YouTube for a podcast where he's sitting around with his buddies and they're just talking a bunch of crap. The guy is just, the guy can, I mean, he can sell fights. That's what Oscar's business is.
Are you jealous?
Yeah, I'm jealous. Of course I'm
jealous. You know, a big portion of his audience cap is from opening, unboxing Pokemon cards.
Yeah, I don't know anything about these Pokemon card thingies, and I don't really get it. But George, I am jealous because I literally was watching one of these Jake Paul podcasts recently. Don't ask me why. And I was like, what is he doing that he has this kind of an audience that we don't do? Been on the radio for 25 years. What are we doing wrong? This guy's sitting around with his pals on a couch talking crap.
I think he like goes after people on social media. He calls guys out. He uses other people to gain awareness about himself. You know,
see, I think that you're jealous because of that, because you, that stuff that you probably would have done more of when you were younger, you just came around at the wrong time.
No, it's not that I came around at the wrong time. It's that the mediums were not available to me at the right time.
That's literally the definition of you came around at the wrong time.
No, didn't you hear the way I framed it, though? Didn't you hear the way I framed it? The way I framed it was, no. I was at the right time. It's just that the platforms were at the wrong time.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
To accommodate me.
You were ahead of your time, Cap.
Yeah. You tell him, Lindsay Baseball.
All right, that is Big Deal or No Deal each and every day at 6:30.
It's true, man. Man, I'm telling you right now, if there was YouTube back in like 1998, forget about it, man.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Yeah. But that was pre-kids. You can't do that when you have kids now.
Yeah, but I can do it now that my kids are grown up. Like, I couldn't do it from when they were little kids to when they were like 13, 14, but now I could do that.
Now you're like, whatever.
Yeah, now it's like, kids, you want me to make money or not? Like, here's the thing.
He makes a lot of money, though, doing this stuff. And you could do it, like, do some of these stunts that he does. Like, the whole, like, story I told about the guy, like, suing for the cockroach in his ear. Make something like that up and talk about it on your Instagram Live or something. You'll go viral, and then you'll have all kinds of followers, and you just keep doing stuff like that.
Yeah, you gotta do kooky stuff. See, I don't care about fame, so I'm fine.
Yeah, but I don't care about fame either. I care about
money.
But
you'll make money. Once you have all those followers, you'll make the money, Cap.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm jealous. George, your question is legit. I do have a TikTok. Can everybody follow me on TikTok?
Don't we all have one?
I have one. I just don't use it. What's your TikTok, Cap?
My TikTok is Scott Kaplan 9, but I've never really used it.
Oh, well, you need to start using it. That's where your money is.
You're the perfect candidate for TikTok. You know, Richard Jefferson has like 500,000 TikTok followers.
Wow. Really?
Oh, he is fantastic on TikTok.
He's really good at it, though. You have to see what he does and just kind of do the same thing.
He goes after people a lot, too, which is really, really funny.
But he also seems to like, how do they, I got to admit, I'm a little lazy when it comes to this. The ability to produce quality-looking content
on TikTok?
It is?
Yes.
It seems hard to me.
You could figure it out. Mason could figure it out, so you could figure it out.
Wait, did Mason do this? Did he figure it out?
He did for like 2 days, and then he got bored with it.
Because I'm going to start getting into TikTok. George, you have a TikTok?
I do, but I never use it.
Do you know what your TikTok handle is?
I don't even know what my handle is. How about that?
Let me see. I think we followed each other once when we talked about this forever ago about TikTok.
Let me find it. TikTok.
Because I remember Greg followed me and like.
I don't even know where TikTok is on my phone.
Oh man, same. Hold on.
You got to either do all kinds of crazy stuff, Cap, and you can collaborate with other people. And that's how you get all the followers. Or just find a niche, you know, like
Scott
a niche
Kaplan
thing.
One, Sedano J.
Oh, Sedano J? Yeah, Sedano follow me J, on TikTok, huh? Sedano J, even though I'm never on there.
So Sedano J, Scott Kaplan 1.
Scott Kaplan 1? Are you sure it's on Scott Kaplan 9, really?
No, 1.
No, it's Scott Kaplan 1, and you got some, like, nose thing where you're waxing your nose.
Yeah, it's Scott Kaplan 1.
Yeah, you have the nose waxing on
there. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then mine is the same, unique underscore. And then Lindsay is yours, Lindsay Baseball.
Oh, here's one.
I've never, legitimately never done a TikTok.
Here's me and Chris Morales.
It still says share your first video.
Yeah. Here's me and Chris on my TikTok. This is when we were at the golf tournament, and I'm rocking a Sunday Swagger shirt. And then Morales asked me to change my shirt, so I ripped it off, showed off my belly, you know, my gut, my rolls.
Mine is Wednesday.
Think we should do a thing where, like, I get a lot of TikTok followers and I still haven't posted a video.
That'd be cool.
How many TikTok followers you have right now, George?
I only 22 because I've never asked for TikTok followers.
Okay, I've got 82. I'd like to get to 100 by the time we get off the air.
Follow Scott Kaplan 1.
Scott Kaplan 1 on TikTok.
49.
Yeah. I need 18 followers to get to 100.
You know who's a really good follow on TikTok?
Who that?
Eugenio Derbez. I like, he's like a Mexican, but he like super baddie actor, and he's done a lot of other stuff, but he's done also like English movies. Him and his family are amazing on TikTok. Like, I'm not a big TikTok person, but Eugenio Derbez to me, like,
TikTok. I could get lost
crazy
on there.
I just got followed by Lindsay Baseball. She just followed me.
Well, that's kind of the point, is that you can get lost on there. Right.
I got 85 followers right now.
Boom. Look at that.
Three of them.
On TikTok. Wow. You're TikToking it.
I don't even know. How the hell did all these TikToks of me happen?
You posted them.
Yeah.
I didn't post them.
I don't know
how to post anything.
Well, clearly you do because you did.
I don't know if I did this. Maybe somebody else did this for me.
Okay. I mean, there's a possibility.
I'm thinking my kids may have done this for me. Yeah, I am getting my nostrils waxed. It's true.
Right. Is that in Downey?
No, this is a different one.
This is pre-Downey.
Yeah, pre-Downey.
Oh.
Remember he started talking about this forever ago, and we were like, ew, and then they did it in Downey.
Here's me dancing with my daughters, though, where I'm just showing off some moves, which is impressive, I think.
I mean, showing off some moves.
So Sedano J, make sure you go and follow Sedano J.
Yeah,
follow
Sedano.
Me on TikTok. I may one day post a video.
And then Scott Kaplan 1.
But you know what's going to happen? I'm going to post a video and it's going to go super viral. Whatever I do decide to post the first one, you're going to want to see it because it's going to be something ridiculous.
Turns out I'm already following you, George.
True. Yeah.
What? I'm already following you here, man. You got 19 followers. You're doing good.
Oh, it's 19. Oh, it's 22 I'm following. There we go. That's what it is. Yeah.
22, you're following. I'm following you now, George. We're friends on TikTok.
Remember how I asked you guys, or we talked about that weird dude that was at the remote with the money in his nose? He had like 30 million views on something dumb.
Yeah.
Like, what the?
It's funny. I had this conversation with Mina Kimes the other day about TikTok. Like, we literally were like talking about it, and it's just like, I can't bring myself to doing it. But if I am going to do it, I may just do one video. And the one video will be epic, though.
Dude. How about this? I have a question, though.
Like,
how about
Jay-Z.
This? But wait, how about this? You ready?
Yeah.
What if everybody here started using TikTok, but you gave up a different platform? So you're replacing it. Because, by the way, I'm watching.
I don't use that many platforms to begin with. I really only use Twitter, and occasionally I use Instagram.
Okay. Well, I use Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn?
Yeah.
I'm on.
You have a LinkedIn account?
Yeah. I have LinkedIn. LinkedIn's great for networking.
You don't use LinkedIn, George?
I mean, LinkedIn for what, Scott? Who do you need to LinkedIn with?
Well, for me.
For Sided.
Yo, Sedano's like, I'm George Sedano, bro.
It's really.
I'm just saying. Like, who do you need to LinkedIn with?
I love
with,
it, though.
Well, dude, I mean, we got multiple lives here, you know? Part-time, you're doing radio. Other part-time, you're doing podcasting. Other time, in my case, I got this software company. So for me, for that life of business, that's where business lives, on LinkedIn.
No, it's good. It's a good platform. Like, I definitely suggest it for networking. It's great.
But here's the thing. Just real quick, I'm watching the Toronto Blue Jays against the Yankees. Now, why would I be watching this game? I have a friend who just got traded from the Guardians to the Blue Jays, and he just got his first at bat. He grounded out to first base. So that's
Zimmer,
why I was watching this game.
They saw Stephen Kwan, and they were like, oh, enough of Zimmer. Let's get him out of here.
Yeah, so my boy Bradley Zimmer got traded to Toronto. But I'm watching this Yankees game, and behind the catcher and, you know, where you can see the advertisements on the wall, TikTok. TikTok us at the Yankees. So the Yankees are not pushing right now. They're not pushing Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. The Yankees are saying, TikTok, follow us at Yankees.
You know why?
Tell me.
Because they've solidified their following on those platforms, so they're trying to grow TikTok.
They want to grow TikTok.
And they want a younger audience.
Exactly.
We need to grow TikTok. That's all I'm saying.
You know what? I'm going to post my, what is it, like a minute that you can post on TikTok from my live tonight.
I think you could post longer now. I think they changed it.
See, I don't know anything about TikTok. I'll figure
it out. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm going to do one TikTok video eventually. And when you see it, it's going to be something you're going to think is hilarious.
Let me see how
I'm doing. I just haven't figured that out yet.
Let me see how I'm doing.
I'm going to do something that is going to be, like, funny. Like, that will go viral.
Guys, when we started this conversation, I had 82
followers. And not, like, viral
followers.
and I'm going to get fired way, but viral in, like, a funny way. Yeah.
I had 82 followers when we started this conversation. I said I wanted to get to 100 by the time we get off the air. I am currently at 109.
Nice.
Boom.
Oh, good job. I have three followers
now. Why
can't
I follow Lindsay back? Lindsay, it says follow back, and then I click it, and then it just says follow back.
All right.
I'm going to show off some moves tonight.
I was like, I don't know how to do this.
I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to rock the house tonight.
See, I saw Lindsay. I'm now following Lindsay, so there you go.
Am I following?
Four followers. Lindsay? Woohoo!
Am I
following? You're
following
me.
Okay,
yep.
Perfect. Yay.
Have we been on the air this whole time
after
Big Deal or No Deal? Okay, I didn't know that we were still on the air. Okay.
We have a minute ago, guys. You know, just letting everybody.
We've talked about sports.
I'm going to post my whole Disney vacation on TikTok.
Yes! Dude, you're going to get so many followers from that. It's crazy.
Really?
Hey,
yes!
I found all my outfits for Disney on TikTok.
Yes, people
no
are
way.
Obsessed.
Yes.
Disney.
Yeah. Disney TikTok is a thing, man. Look it up.
Okay, when she comes back, Lindsay, I swear, you're going to have so many followers, you must report.
I will.
Yeah.
People love Disney.
Yes.
She's right. I mean, Jerry Lawler posted a video in front of the teacups at Disney, and he got like 2,000 followers.
Well, he's Jerry Lawler, so there's that.
Yeah, but he said
king.
It was all from Disney.
Yeah. Maybe that. No, I don't want to do that. anyway.
I'm getting some messages on Twitter from people that want to collaborate on a TikTok.
All right. Well, listen, we'll have to talk about this tomorrow, Cap, because Laura made a math problem and we kind of messed up.
Yeah, we got to go.
All right. So we're done. Great job, Kaplan, Lindsay, and Laura. We'll talk to you mañana. See ya.